If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the perfect wholeness of Divine Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is the active practice of health and wholeness. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward from the highest point of your divinity that you can conceptualize. And bring that as a stream of brilliant white light all the way down to the top of your head and flood your entire nervous system, your entire cerebral spinal fluid, all of your organs, your chakras, everything with a superluminal light of your divine essence. That part of you that has only wholeness, only perfection, only holiness as your original and eternal state. Take another deep breath. And just bring that down through all of your cells, the strands of your DNA, and into the very subatomic particles of every quark of your being. And see it expand as an oval of perfect luminous, it's like an iridescent luminosity. There's flecks of gold and purple and mother of pearl. And on the outer periphery of that, see a violet flame that immediately transmutes and dissolves back into the nothingness from which it came. Any negativity, anything that wants to return whole, return to love, and just allow all those parts of your consciousness that are ready to dissolve into that wholeness. And as you call yourself forward, that is, by the way, your job. It's your responsibility to align your spiritual energies and state your intention. And you do that by delineating that line of authority by which you do God's work in this world, by which you present into time and space. I can't tell you how to do that for yourself. You need to do that for yourself. You know who your spiritual upline is. You know the ones that you walk with, that you have a sponsorship in spirit with. And so that part is the one that you come into alignment with. And then you integrate and clearly have an intention of what it is that you wish to receive, activate, purpose into, whatever that is for you. This evening, our focus is health and wholeness. I don't believe in all the many years I've been doing these seminars, I have ever spoken on health and wholeness, specifically in terms of the body, for the simple reason that I was thinking that I had to be a perfect demonstration of physical health and wholeness before I could speak about it, because I try only to speak about the things that I have actually realized and am practicing within myself. I mean, how else is it going to have any, you know, validity unless I have exercised this in my own being. And then I realized health and wholeness has nothing to do with the body. Yep, right. No, health and wholeness has nothing to do with the appearance or the state of this illusion that you think that's walking around and is yourself. That's a dream figure of your own mental conjuration. That is not you. And that is not representative at all of your health and wholeness, which, like everything else in spirit, is a state of awareness. It's a state of awareness. It's a state of being. And so our seminar topic, the active practice of health and wholeness, you'll notice again and again, I language things as the active practicing of, the exercising of, the building in of the muscles of mastery. You know, so many people will follow a teaching or a guru or a master, and that's all they're doing. They're imitating, like little monkeys, they will follow the specific formula, the formula so much as the example and the way the master or the teacher has done it, without personalizing the teaching and exercising their own creative adornment into how they apply those teachings. Every single being is a unique manifestation of divine consciousness, a divine awareness, a divine beingness. And therefore, there has to be an exercising of your own individual mastery in the form of creatively exploring the ways that you connect with spirit, the ways that you exercise into wholeness, the way that you work with your levels to where they have an optimum functionality for you. That's why there's not a one-size-fits-all formula. There are so many different kinds of approaches, and they all seem to work. So let's cut to the chase before we even show the opening sequences, shall we? Get this, and please imprint it. The entire arising of any semblance of discord, suffering, disease, comes solely out of your belief in separation from God. All of it, everything that causes you misery, arises out of your belief in separation from God. And love alone can dissolve all blocks to your full healing, which is the same as your full enlightenment. And again, that has nothing to do with the appearance of the outer body. You could have, for example, manifested a body that is totally disabled or seems to be manifesting dis-ease of some sort. That may be simply a ruse to keep you still and quiet so that you can do the true work of spirit without distraction and having to be involved with the outer world. Begin to see all states that you find yourself in as serving you in some way. Everything, all things work together to assist you to your full godhood, your full self-mastery. And some masters will come back into the body and create for themselves a situation where they have absolutely no distractions out into the world. I often think Stephen Hawking is such a soul. He's created a situation where literally the only thing that works is his genius brain. How amazing. And of course, it's not the brain that's doing the brilliance. It's the soul operating through that brilliant brain, mind. Let's say mind, not brain. Brain is just the receiver and the interpreter. But a body that literally doesn't function at all. And I would say that he's in perfect health and wholeness. He, the spirit, who he is. So don't look ever at a body that's disabled or mentally challenged or whatever's going on with that body and judge it or think that you know what's really going on with that body. And don't think of it in terms of it being diseased. It may be, in fact, a Christ that simply is focusing on holding that awareness without distraction and obligation to perform in the outer world. It's so interesting that the things of spirit will look absolutely unspiritual in the physical. And that's where the ego mind tends to get involved and pass judgment when it doesn't have a clue about what's going on. Just know that however you are, you remain now and forever absolutely perfect, whole, and one with God. You are all holy immortals, forever one with your divine creator. And all appearances of anything less than perfect health and wholeness is an illusion. We are spirit. We are not now, nor have we ever been a body, nor even inside a body. We've never been inside a body. I like Deepak Chopra's definition. It's lowering it a little bit into the illusion. But it's something I think we can all relate to. Deepak Chopra defines the human being as the universe operating through a nervous system. The universe operating through a nervous system. Wow. And, yeah, I would agree that is, on one level, entirely true. Again, you will notice there are levels of teaching. There's levels of understanding. But wherever you land, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. No matter what you see, what you hear, what you realize, it is but the tip of your toenail compared to what is next and next and next and next. So truly, spiritual life is expansion itself. It's expansion. Your life is expansion. My life is expansion. And it's infinite. So, as perfect immortal spirits, ever whole and holy, we live in God as water exists in the sea. As water exists in the sea, so we exist in God. As air exists in the atmosphere, we exist in God. In fact, your true nature is indistinguishable from God. That would be perhaps a good statement for you to jot down. I am indistinguishable from God. I am forever one with God. I am the same essence as God. So you make these proclamations your own by adding the terms that you identify with. So some of you may identify with such terms as Divine Mother, Holy Spirit, Christ, Atma, the Absolute, you know, make it your own. That's why people aren't having experiences and why you can see them as members of spiritual groups for decades and they're not enlightened. Why aren't they enlightened? Because they've been trying to follow a teaching and a teacher and the formula laid down by that particular organization, but they have never exercised their own creative self-mastery in creating their own unique approach to spirit. And again, the proof that you are doing that is that you're enlightened. You know, that doesn't have to be a difficult thing. It's just simply a return to truth. But you have to know what truth is to be able to return to it. So, you are affected only by your thoughts. How many times have I said that? So, in terms of your health or anything else, and I could get into trouble for saying this, but it really doesn't matter what you eat or drink or what health regimen you adopt or don't adopt. What matters in all of that and what really determines your outcome is what you're doing with that in your mind. You see, you're the one that is making it real for yourself by your believing it is real. That's like, ouch, but it's so true. You know, it's so because you say it's so. And you can always change your mind and change your reality. But that's the only way you're ever going to change your outer reality is by changing your mind about what you want to have real. I'm sorry, I'm not making fun of us because I do this too. You know, it's a challenge. That's why I say it's an active practicing. Active practicing. Every day you have another 24 hours to practice the constant state of spiritual awareness. So it's all about your habits of thinking and what you believe is going on. And your life experience consists of absolutely nothing but what you've decided is so. Your life consists of your interpretations, no more, no less, and it is all literally in your mind. Literally, everything, the world, the state of the world, everything that you see outwardly simply mirrors the content of your mind. So to change your life, you need to change your mindset and your habitual ways of thinking. And nothing changes in the outer until you make changes to your inner approach. So, let's face it, the human mindset is not based on any semblance of reality whatsoever. It is all fiction and foolishness. And it's the result of mental delusion and misdirected mental energy, misidentifying and associating and becoming attached with form rather than the spirit. So the ego mind projected world would have you take as reality only what you can validate through your five senses. The empirical evidence of scientifically generated data has actually become the modern idol to which we offer our obeisance. You know? And when you edge God out, you're left with nothing but illusion and misery. So the spiritual approach is quite different in that we look beyond the obvious and question everything previously held to be, quote, how things are. And we keep looking beyond, probing ever deeper, searching, questioning, experimenting, trying on this and that lens of perspective. Well, perhaps we read many books, go to many seminars, study with many teachers. Maybe we are led to a master. And maybe we awaken to realize that we are the master we've been seeking, and that all along, the answers we sought were seeking revelation through us. Seeking revelation through us. A tremendous revelation this morning, which is what I'm birthing in the seminar tonight. Things that were shown to me so clearly about health. So, what if the answers you have been seeking and are seeking, perhaps right now, are seeking a way to reveal themselves to you, through you? Have you seriously ever given revelation room to reach you? How would you do that? Well, what I did was be very clear in what it was I wanted to have revealed. You know, I would like to have a greater clarity about such and such. And I went to sleep with that thought in my mind, and I woke up, and I asked for clarity during the night travel. And when I awakened in the morning, I had this whole download of revelation. It was given exactly as I had intended and requested. Now, I could have also sat in my chair and said, I would like to be aligned and given whatever revelation regarding this particular question that I have in my mind. I often do that. And then I sometimes will hear a voice, a silent voice. It comes like a series of thoughts into my mind. And sometimes it'll have the Indian tonality of Sai Baba's voice, or I know the voice of Jesus. It'll be his voice, which is very strong but gentle at the same time. Or it might be the voice of my teacher, John Roger. And they'll give me different, let's say, nuances of perspective on the same question. And try it sometime, you know, just because you will receive your revelation through the lineages that you are attuned to in the spiritual realms. And we all work in lineages and orders, whether or not we're aware of it. But many of us who are very old souls and have been around the spiritual realms for a very, very long time, like myself, we have that constant awareness of that connection with our spiritual co-workers and upline. And everyone has a master. You know, none of us are here without divine overlighting. There's always going to be a higher upline that you are attuned to, and it doesn't take from or denigrate your own divine wholeness at all. It's just that the more you go into the oneness of God, the more you walk in the company of the masters, the more you walk with Christ, the more you walk with the Buddhas, the more you walk with the Rinpoches, you become a whole community of illumined ones. And I personally find that one of the most joyful, delightful things in the world is to have this. I'm never alone. I'm constantly experiencing the presence of the spiritual beings that I walk with and work with, and who work through me, and who walk with me. And we're all serving the omniverses of our Supreme Creator together as a family of light. What could be cooler than that? I mean, really, what could be better than that? So begin to expand your awareness from preoccupation with your body and your personal little tiny cubicle of human life, and begin to look through the upper vision of your imagination, and you'll be surprised at what appears into your realm of revelation. The whole communion of saints, the whole spiritual hierarchy in which you work and operate as a brother sisterhood of light will be revealed to you. You will find that there are beings lined up, you know. When I sometimes look at a person's lineage, I'll see these glorious, like, series of Buddhas or golden beings that line up right over a person's head, right into the very heart of the divine absolute itself. I mean, at a certain point, there's no language to describe these things. You just sort of, you go into the state of awe, because truly the only thing worthy of awe is the divine. So when you're in that state, truly, you're in a state where all the blocks to your full enlightenment are dissolved by love. All of the blocks. Love alone can dissolve everything that blocks your full enlightenment. And ultimately, it is your love that will reveal your immortality and your perfect divine wholeness, if I could add that on there. Yeah, only love. So the solution to all of your problems is to remember your perfect wholeness is love. Remember your perfect wholeness as love. And don't look to the body as the evidence of anything. It's a dream character that is going to vanish at some point. It's a, let's say it's a functional operative in time-space, but that's all. And all states of the body, all states in which you find yourself are going to work out together for your good and are useful. So it's your job, your duty, your dharma, to see how the situations in your life, whether it's dis-ease or incapacity or a crippled body or blindness or whatever it is, see how that's serving you. I remember a blind man came to Sai Baba, and Sai Baba said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Swami, I want to see." And Baba said, "You want to see? But it's grace that has enabled you to be born this time blind. That was your prayer, that you would be born blind in this life. Do you want me to reverse this?" And the man said, well, no, Swami, but why did I choose to be blind? And Baba said, "It's because you had the problem of the wandering eye of lust. You lusted after the ladies. And so it caused you to go into very bad paths, which created a lot of karma for you. So you prayed that in your next lifetime, you would be able not to have, you know, your mind taken into distraction by vision, and you could keep yourself focused only upon God." It's that prayer that has brought you today into my direct presence. Now, I can grant you your sight, if that's what you really want. And the man said, no, Swami, let it be as it is. I want in this lifetime, I have the greatest blessing to be in your direct presence, and that is all I want. I only want to know God and to merge with God. And so every situation in which you find yourself is part of a soul contract that is serving you in moving and advancing you towards your own perfection and your own Christship, your own godhood, your own mastery. So when you're looking through the eyes of the higher consciousness, there is only the observer that watches and listens and is present, but only appreciates. Love only appreciates. So when you're in that state of the higher consciousness, there's no ego mind, nothing that passes critique or judgment or critical comment or even critical opinions about anyone or anything. All of those things come out of the lower consciousness of the ego. Love is awareness without thought. It's another good thing to write down. Love is awareness without thought. Now, the thought we're speaking about is the running commentator that's always watching the world and saying, well, so-and-so should do it this way, or they're not doing that right, or look what they're doing over there. That shouldn't be. They need to correct that. That's the busybody ego mind distracting you from the love that you are. That is the mind that gets you in trouble, because whatever you judge in another, actually you're trying to avoid being responsible for in your own self. The world is just a mirror. So get out of that bad habit of minding other people's business and stepping into telling them how they should or need to, or how they need to improve their lives. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Because love only appreciates. Love is awareness without critical comment. Genuine love allows everyone the freedom to be themselves. So when one is genuinely present, one is aware only of love. So that's how you can tell if you're here and now, and you're, quote, living in the now, when you're hosting presence, when you're in the spaciousness, you're aware only of love. When you're not aware of love, you are in the mind rather than the awareness of soul. So all healing simply involves a returning of the mind to love or to truth. Same thing. Truth and love are one and the same thing. All healing involves a returning of the mind to truth and love. So again, your only problem is forgetting your love. Really simple. You know, the ego mind is terribly complicated, but truth is so simple. Another thing that causes a lot of problems is that the ego mind is continually waging comparisons between one person and another, between themselves and another. They're always, I forget the word I want to use here, compare. Well, I think I'm trying to say compare. They're always in the process of evaluating and comparing, making comparisons. That's the ego. Whenever you find your mind doing that, that's a bad habit. That is what is blocking your awareness of the love. Stop it. In spirit, and move your awareness into truth, in spirit, all are equal. That is the only divine reality, the sense of essential oneness of all that is. So be aware that ego mind alone is what sees difference. Ego is the very attitude of differentiation and separation. That's all it is. It's the embodiment of separation, the idea, the notion of separation. It's what the ego is. So what is not of love is illusion. What is not of love is illusion. Ignore it. Look beyond it. But whatever you do, move your awareness back into your loving. Always. You know, you don't waste time judging it or going, oh, I feel so bad. I've been, forget it. Didn't we start out with a premise that you've never left the heart of God? That you're eternal, perfect, divine, of the same essence as God? That you're the same as, you're in God like the air is in the atmosphere, like water is in the ocean. No difference. You're like, you know, if God was sugar, you'd be the sweetness of that sugar. So Why are you worried about these things? Why do you allow that to rob you of your perfect awareness of wholeness and health and happiness? So another reminder is that there are no others. Those that seem to appear as other people are but your own states of consciousness objectified. Those are your own states of consciousness objectified. That's whether you're looking at politicians on the news, or you're dealing with somebody on the telephone, or you bump into someone in an elevator, or you're married and think that person is your spouse, and those that have come through your body as your children, those are all your own states of consciousness. All the figures in your dreams are states of consciousness. And each is serving as a mirror so you can identify what is within you and what you need to return to your loving. You know, if all you see is love, you know that you're walking in the free state of soul awareness. But if you're seeing something that you're judging in any way, that you're seeing as negative or evil or bad or whatever, that's what you need to love and identify as that part of you that you've rejected. You know, you people who feel rejected and abandoned, only you can abandon and reject yourself. You've never left the heart of God. So, again, all problems trace back to your belief in separation from God. Everything. Whenever you're not completely joyful, you've bought in to separation from God in some manner. Or you could replace the word God and put good. Or you could put the word grace. But they all mean the same thing. Or you could put the word love. They all mean the same thing. So only the ego judges people and things as good and evil. In truth, neither exist. Only the one universal spirit exists beyond all duality and mental description. So when you criticize and blame another and find fault, those are the very things that you are seeking to avoid in yourself. But as ego mind is replaced by divine realization, one becomes truly creative. It's like a racehorse out of the chute. I mean, they're just you just feel like you've been catapulted into unlimited freedom and beauty. And the creative, divine, creative intelligence will flow unimpeded, birthing new creations, new universes, things that we cannot even speak about because we don't have the language or the vision or the experience directly yet. But we will birth things in the imperishable realms of the Absolute. Jesus speaks a little bit about these realms in A Course in Miracles, but it's so far afield of our daily understanding of life here in the human level that that's part of the glory realms that will be revealed as we move into the higher states of God consciousness. So the divine spirit that you are, that is dynamic peace and ever ecstatic creative expansion. So it's far from a boring state that you can look forward to as you advance in your awareness. So let's take a deep breath again. And if you would like, ask the Holy Spirit to begin to bring that healing into your mind, into your understanding, wherever the notion that you are separated from God and your perfect divine wholeness, wherever that has seeped into your understanding and your worldview, ask the Holy Spirit to bring gradual correction in a way that would be for your highest spiritual good. And just allow, when you catch yourself in ego critiquing mode or comparing or judging or feeling guilty or whatever, just be nonchalant, but take a breath and just release it and let it go back into the nothingness from which it came. A few shows back, I was emphasizing to return it back to divine love. And I found in my case, everything was coming back to me because I am divine love and I'm aware of that. or if I return it to Sai Baba, the same thing. I've merged with Sai Baba, so it would come right back to me. So now, the next level to operate, if you find that things are returning to you because you are compassion, you are love, you are one with your divine self, then you need to direct it back into the nothingness from which it came. Because only what came from God is real. You know, the ego projections of the false self, they just dissolve back into nothingness. They just dissolve. You know, because they don't have inherent life in them. They don't have, what's not born of God does not have eternality. So all of your mashugana crazy thoughts, just go back into the nothingness from which they came. You know, all of your quote, so-called evil, it just dissolves back into the nothingness because God didn't give you evil. There's no evil in God, so you don't have any evil. That's just your mashugana mind trying to convince you that, you know, something you did in the dream time, you know, has an effect that could block you from your eternal wholeness. You see, that's why you need to know who you are and what you are. You are one with God, period. Same essence, like water in the ocean, like air in the atmosphere. You are in God. God is. There's nothing you can look at that's not yourself, that's not God, that's not filled with God. You know, again, I give you the example of looking at something under a very high-powered microscope where you can look all the way down to the quantum particles and see that everything is just energy. And at the ultimate source, it's light. And light is God. So God is in everything you see. And if you ask, and pray for the vision of light, Atma Darshana, the vision of the Atma, the supreme light, perhaps you will have an experience where you will have the actual experience of seeing everything dissolve around you into pure light. And, you know, of course, it's not going to stay if you, you know, have a contract to be in the world for a certain number of years, because obviously you can't remain without somebody giving you big problems in the modern world in the state of consciousness where everything is dissolved in light. Take it from me. This has happened to me so many times. And, you know, people, even your best friends, begin to look at you a little strangely after a while. So even though you're a radical God-realized mystic, have to import it into the reality in which you have a soul contract for, say, 50 years, 60 years, 70, whatever, so that you can appear quasi-normal while you're totally God-realized. And here again is where your clever applicability to adjust your frequency of your consciousness to be able to move in the world without creating shock and awe, shock and wonder. You know, sometimes people say, well, why can't we walk on water and manifest food and do this and that and the other thing? It's like, no. Do you want people to worship you and bow down and get in your way trying to touch your feet? And, I mean, that's the job of the avatar. Leave it to the avatars. And, oh, maybe you are an avatar, but that's not your role that you're enacting today. You're married, you have children, you have a family, you have a job, whatever. That's what you're supposed to be involved with. Do your duty. Do it divinely. Do it as an offering to the divine. Do it as Christ would do it. Do it humbly and sweetly and gently and kindly and wisely as the Master Jesus. And that's enough already. Be the love that you are in the place that you are. That is exercising very actively your health and your wholeness. And when you do that, Baba says your health will be very strong. If you take vitamins G-O-D morning and night with a little bit of a snack of G-O-D and you know, enriched food in the daytime in the form of repeating and remembering the name of God, or remembering some of these things we've just told you, that you're one with God, God lives in you as you, you know, whatever your sacred proclamations are, that can be like your little vitamins, your little snack during the day when you're at work. I used to write little 3x5 cards in little reminders from the Course in Miracles, and I'd put them in my cash register when I was working in the stores, or I'd put them on, you know, around my desk wherever I needed reminders, or if I was at home, I'd put them on my mirrors, or in front of me where I was sitting in my chair, or in my environment. I would always keep those reminders. And I practiced that for years. And I kept my mind from thinking and comparing and running around like a crazed monkey by repeating the name of God on a rosary. And I would, do my mantra instead of letting my mind run at random. And gradually, I transcended the mind by doing those practices. And gradually, I awakened to who I truly am as a divine being, with the help of some very excellent masters, I might add. But that being aside, you know, I was doing my part, too, to be a diligent disciple and a very active initiate. So be a diligent disciple of the masters. Be a zealous initiate. Pay attention to God. You can slacken off a bit on attention to the world, but you know what? The closer you get to God, the more excellent you do everything in the world, too. That's the odd thing. People think, oh, well, if you're God consciousness, you know, you don't have to pay any attention to the world. No. I watched Sai Baba for too many years to buy into that. Sai Baba is so impeccable in every little thing he does. He never slacks off in being impeccable. So that's something that you realize, too, is that doing everything with excellence, with love, with care, with attentiveness, with impeccability, is part of your spiritual path. You know, nothing is disregarded or discounted or devalued. Everything is seen as a manifestation of God and as service to God. So that's important. So we've examined the returning of our minds to the truth of our perfect wholeness and holiness. I think during these now into our 7 years of seminars, I think we've probably looked at this topic from many, many approaches and facets of spiritual understanding. I have dealt with this from the perspective of the Vedas, of the Course in Miracles, of born-again, Holy Spirit-filled Christianity, of universality, of the New Age kind of approaches, of the galactic and otherworldly approaches. I've looked at it with you in many, many different ways, because I realize that those of you who are listening come with a variety of, let's say, conditioned understanding that's been overlaid through your most recent approaches. Generally, you'll find yourself drawn in the lifetime that you're in to those things that were familiar to you in the past. You know, if they had left me alone, I would have either been gone into, if I'd been a man, I would have become a priest, no doubt. I would have either become a Christian missionary, or I would have gone to live in India in the ashrams. Those are my two strongest vasanas or tendencies when I was incarnated this lifetime. So, of course, I was not allowed to do either. They put me in show business and as a performer and singer, dancer, actor, for many years before I was allowed to even study the ministry, because it was seen that I would veer off into those old familiar patterns and I wouldn't develop any new understanding and work out the quenched desires from my previous lifetimes. And that's important, because my last four lifetimes I was an Indian guru and lived a life of celibacy and very rigid spiritual practices. So this lifetime, I needed to have relationships. I needed to experience having sex and children and romance and the things that obviously I had fantasized about as a guru, but had no way to actually exercise and experience. So again, each lifetime brings into balance those areas that you have neglected to fully embrace of and experience so that you can lay them aside. I can truly say now at this point in my life that there's nothing I can think of, and it's been like this for some years now, there's nothing I can think of that I need to do, want to do, desire to do, or have not actually done that I originally wanted to do. So it's important that you look at your life and realize that any desire that you have that has not been addressed in some way and fulfilled to some degree as you possibly can, and we're not talking about addictive desires, but little things like if you wanted to paint a painting or learn how to sing or learn a language or dance or maybe travel or go to Greece or whatever, if there's any way you can fulfill that, short of actually having to go there and do that, of course, do it that way if you can, but if you absolutely have to buy the ticket, get on the airplane, and go to wherever it is you need to go, do that, because those desires will draw you back into another incarnation. Desire is what binds you to the level where that desire can be fulfilled. So if you want to make this your last incarnation, you better not have any more desires that could bind you and draw you back into this realm. But I don't think you can mood make it. I think that my state comes from being very blessed by Sai Baba, very graced and well taught by my teacher, John Roger, and a diligent practitioner of the spiritual path that it was given to me to as my teaching. And because of that, I lived a life very, very full and was blessed with the opportunity to travel, which I'm sure I didn't get to do much as a guru, not certainly to, internationally as I have in this lifetime, and have the things that I can just imagine that I must have wanted to experience when I was living in tiny little villages in India and in remote ashrams and in the Himalayas and so forth. So let your life be loose in the sense that you watch where you need to exercise some direction, correction, discipline, and completion. And don't keep adding to things that would cause you to accumulate more desires. Put a ceiling on your desires and exercise moderation. You know, the middle path of the Buddha is so important. Don't live a life of extremes. Live a life that is divinely ordered and balanced and enjoyable and fun and beautiful, but stays aware. You know, keep that CIA, that CIA going, that continual integrated awareness. You know, continual integrated awareness, CIA. Keep that going. Oh, there's always so many things I like to share, and the hour goes so fast for me. I hope it does for you as well. So in this returning, of the mind to original awareness of health and wholeness, there's countless methods and keys and techniques and many religious and spiritual practices that have proved effective for many throughout the ages. And perhaps, you know, there are as many ways as there are individual spirits. But the point is to find the way that works for you and to work that way as long as it works for you. And when it stops working for you, try another approach. You know, always keep yourself refreshed and don't form habits where you're just doing something by rote, but there's no fire of spirit. That's why it says in the Bible that whatsoever you do, do it unto the Lord with all of your heart. You know, do everything with the fire of your heart, the devotion of your heart, the dedication of your spirit. And then it will be a yoga for you, whether you're baking a casserole for your family or you're washing their clothes or you're watching TV. Make everything that you're doing alive with the awareness of God, the awareness of spirit. You can do it. Make your home your ashram and your heart your place of worship. So, that is how you practice active health and wholeness. Let's go out chanting. Let's see. Let's do Anai Hu. Deep breath. Remember, beloved, in highest truth, you have never left the heart of God, and remain you still within the heart of God in perfect health, wholeness, and holiness. And you are an immortal now. God bless Adonai.